Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
I'm Mike Shackelford.
Tonight, our guest is Stacy Colombo Alonso, the Marketing Vice President of Global Gaming at IGT, which makes about 90% of all the video poker games in this country. She'll be backed up by IGT engineer Chris Bruni for when the questions get too technical about video poker. I've been friends with both Stacy and Chris for more than a decade, and I'm really looking forward to this. On this show, we avoid politics except when it relates to gambling. But speaking of gambling, with only a few days to go prior to the presidential election, Michael, what are the online betting markets saying?
Currently, the odds on Obama are -306 and on Romney +269 at Pinnacle Sports. If we split the difference, that implies that Barack Obama has a 74.2% chance of winning and Mitt Romney 25.8%.
These are a significant increase in the Obama direction over the last week.
Indeed they are. On last week's show, I reported the line on Obama was -213 and on Romney +191. So that would imply a chance of Obama winning then of 66.9%. So the chances of Obama winning went up 7.3% this week.
Now, I think the big thing that happened this last week that would affect the election was the hurricane, which was a disaster. But there's a lot of pictures of Obama assisting victims of the hurricane. And a month or so ago, nobody could have predicted if and when such a hurricane would happen. But now he's able to promise federal aid to large number of the victims of the hurricane. And that's one of the benefits of being an incumbent, that he can offer and Romney can't.
Indeed, he gets to come out looking presidential and powerful. By the way, this change from last week, you asked me before to put it in terms of a NFL point spread. Uh-huh. Last week, Obama was looking like a 5.5 point favorite, and this week he's an 8-point favorite. And that may only be 2.5 points, but that crosses the all-important 7-point margin of victory. And usually 8-point favorites do win.
Yes, and now, nobody wanted this disaster, for sure, and now 3 days later, 4 days later, there's millions of people still without electricity and clean water, and many people have lost their homes and lives, and it's awful. And at the same time, when the opportunity to act presidential occurs, a good politician's going to act on it. So when any opportunity is out there, you act on it in the same way as a politician would or as a gambler would. Now, my article this week in the mylva.com blog is on this subject, although it was written many weeks before the hurricane came about. Earlier this week, the final nine of the World Series of Poker met at the Rio and battled for 2 days until Greg Merson was the last man standing, earning some $8.5 million in round numbers. Congratulations, Greg. One of the facts that I found especially interesting is that three of the nine players hired coaches to help them get better in the 4 months between qualifying for the final table and actually playing it. They were each paid about $750 last July for coming in at least ninth, and the prices escalated from there quickly. They figured with so much money at stake, now was an excellent time to invest in some schooling. How did these students do? They ended up second place, Jesse Sylvia, third place, Jacob Balsiger, and fourth place, Russell Thomas, earning between $2.5 and $5.3 million for their accomplishments. Such a strong results for the people who hired coaches is, I find that gratifying that gambling coaches have clearly shown to be a good investment. I'm hoping that people conclude that hiring a coach for video poker is a smart investment as well, in case they find anybody who teaches video poker. We got an email sent to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com about blackjack. A man named Ted was playing next to a guy who I'll call Joe, who had a $75 bet out there when he was dealt ace four against a dealer six. The proper play on this is to double down, meaning put out another $75. Now, Joe only had $25 left, so he used that to double down. Ted spoke up, volunteered to cover the other $50 of the bet, and Joe agreed. The dealer busted, so both Ted and Joe made out well. Ted wanted to know of other situations where it would make sense to volunteer to take over somebody else's bet. I'm smart enough to know the blackjack is not my specialty, so I threw this question over to Shaq. So, Michael, how should Ted find out this information?
On my blackjack page, under Appendix 5, I indicate the expected value of every possible starting hand in blackjack, and I color the situations that are positive for the player in green and negative in red. So if the player can buy into any of the green hands, he should. And I'm not going to spend the show explaining each one, but in the case that was asked about, which was a double down situation, if there's ever a good double down and the player doesn't want to go the whole way, he wants to double for less, you feel comfortable with it, by all means, ask to take the difference and put up your own money.
Very good. And so whether or not you're successful at this depends on your salesmanship and friendliness. If you've been a grouch, nobody's going to let you do anything. But if you've been friendly and asked nicely, sometimes they say yes.
Indeed, that's a good reason to be social and friendly at the table should the situation present itself. And by the way, to back up a little bit, I too do personal gambling tutoring from time to time should any high rollers want me right at their side telling them what to do.
Oh, for sure. If it is a blackjack or something, by all means, Michael would be a much better choice than me. If it's video poker, Mike, stay out of my way.
I agree, 100%.
All right. Now, a bad beat in gambling is where you have victory all sewn up with an extremely small chance of losing, but somehow you manage to lose anyway. In college football this past Saturday, we had a huge bad beat, and the losing was done in a very rare, unique, and painful way. Consider this scenario. The North Carolina State Wolfpack and the North Carolina Tar Heels are major rivals in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Assume you bet on the Wolfpack. You were 7.5-point underdogs, and you held an outright lead with less than 2 minutes to go in the game. That means you'll still win your bet if the Tar Heels score less than 10.5 points, which is almost a certainty. But with 1 minute and 34 seconds left, the Tar Heels scored a field goal to tie the game. Now, that's okay for the Wolfpack better, because if the game ends in the tie, the vast majority of overtimes end up with a margin of victory of 7 points or less, so the bet's still pretty safe. The Tar Heels kicked off, forcing a touchback, so the Wolfpack had the ball on the 25. That'd be on the 20 if it was in the pros, but college rules are different. Three ineffectual running plays, followed by Tar Heels immediately taking timeout, forced the Wolfpack to punt with less than 30 seconds to go. This is still okay for the better. It's unlikely the Tar Heels will score a touchdown with so little time left, and even if they do, the 7.5-point betting advantage will still protect you because a touchdown and conversion is only 7 points. So on the punt, however, the Tar Heel punt returner zigged and zagged his way 73 yards for a touchdown, putting the Tar Heels ahead by 6 points with 13 seconds left. Still, no problem for the Wolfpack bettor. We now have a 1.5-point betting cushion, and the Tar Heels almost certainly are going to kick the 1-point conversion. If they happen to make that conversion, however, by running into the end zone or completing a pass into the end zone, that's 2 points. But they weren't even trying to do that. So they line up to kick it, and so the odds are now 99.99-something that they're either going to make the conversion or miss the conversion, and you're going to win your bet either way. This is when disaster struck. The Tar Heel center, who's the guy who hikes the ball, attempted to snap the ball back to the conversion so the conversion kick could be made. But instead of a clean snap, he kind of bounced the ball back there. The player who was supposed to hold the ball for the kicker picks up the ball and sees all the huge Wolfpack linemen bearing down on him, angry, frothing at the mouth. Now, as far as this player is concerned, it doesn't matter if they make the kick or not. His team is going to win the game in either case. What does matter is if all these big, angry football players land on top of him. So he heaves the ball into the end zone in self-defense. Miraculously, the ball was caught for 2-point conversion. So the Tar Heels win by 8 points, and we lose a bet because we lose a bet on a bet that couldn't be lost. Over 9, I don't know the exact number, 99.99-something, and yet we still found a way to lose it. Now, I didn't have any money on this game, so I found it fascinating. I have empathy for players who did. Some of the players who lost this bet must be still talking to themselves 5 days later, possibly still on suicide watch. I don't know. Now, Shaq, you didn't take the Wolfpack and the points, did you?
No, I didn't, but that story is still painful just to listen to.
Have you had any bad beats on that approximate level? Or, I mean, that's just so such a rarity.
Yeah, that one was certainly bad. I don't, as someone who's made thousands of sports bets, I've snatched defeat out of the hands of victory so many times I've lost count. And it's my policy that, you know, I always write down my bets on a piece of paper because I usually have lots going on at once. And I put a W for a win and an L for a loss. And I've learned never, ever, ever write that W until the game is over. Even if the laws of physics seem to dictate you can't lose, somehow, sometimes you do. I think that lots of sports bettors and sports fans in general can commiserate. You just never know what's going to happen. But I still don't think it's quite as bad as the UNLV-Wisconsin game of August 31st, 2002. The score of the game when it closed was UNLV 7, Wisconsin 27. But with 52 minutes and 19 seconds on the clock, that much time being played, the power went out. And the rules of sports betting say that the game has to go at least 55 minutes for bets to have action. So even though Wisconsin was 20 points ahead, certainly there was almost no way UNLV was either going to win or cover the spread. The Wisconsin fans were just furious they presented their tickets and were told of this 55-minute rule.
All right. Let's talk to Stacy and Chris. Stacy Colombo Alonso is not a woman in a binder. She began her role as Vice President of Global Marketing at IGT in November 2011. So about a year ago. She's a 25-year veteran in the gaming industry with marketing and operations experience in multiple jurisdictions throughout the United States with companies such as Station Casinos, Tropicana Casino Resort, and Warner Gaming. She's won several recognizable awards, including Casino Marketing Lifetime Achievement, Top 10 Women in Gaming, and Top 25 People to Watch in Gaming. She's still active in the community, and we'll be asking her about one of her involvements in a few minutes. Chris Bruni joined IGT in 1994 as a junior member of the game design department. He's been involved in the game design and game development ever since in various roles and responsibilities with an emphasis on video poker. Bruni developed the original pay table variations for both double double bonus poker and triple double bonus poker. He's also worked on Super Times Pay, and he's one of my allies. If I need a pay schedule so I can write about it, I send him a request along with And I'm sure he checks with his bosses, but then he sends it off to me so I can write about it and the rest of you can hear about it. So, Stacy and Chris, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you for having us, Bob.
Yeah, it's great to be on.
All righty. Now, IGT is a leader in server-based gaming technology. How will server-based gaming work with respect to video poker?
Chris, I'll let you take this.
This one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, you know, essentially the server-based gaming functionality that we have works with video poker like it just the same way it does with our video slots game. So in that respect, there is really little or no difference. So, you know, casinos will be able to download and configure the poker games, you know, quickly and easily with less labor, using the same methods that they do today for the video slot game. So really, it's the same.
Okay, now let's assume the casino thinks that I'm a good video poker player and Michael here doesn't know an ace from a hole in the ground. Now, this is what the casino's database thinks, not necessarily how good Michael and I actually are. Will server-based gaming allow for the machine to have one set of payouts when my player's card is in and a totally different set of payouts when Michael's card is in?
No, Bob, I'd love to take that because you and I have been talking pay tables for probably half of my long industrial career. Server-based gaming will not affect or change the pay table on a video poker game. We certainly know, mostly through the classes that you've taught, Bob, and that it's really important for the customer that the pay table is that identity to the game itself. And, you know, I think that the players enjoy knowing that the game cannot be adjusted without changing the pay table. It's just a really important component of the overall experience. So the pay table aspect is not changeable by the players, you know, through server-based gaming. Now, I think that technology will take us to a place that all the casinos are seeking, and that is how the player database side can learn more about the player through the comp levels of the, you know, for the players and from a discretionary side, from a reward status side, but it won't be from a pay table experience.
That's music to my ears, Stacy and Chris. Thank you.
I would also like to add that Chris and IGT have been very helpful with my site. Whenever I have a question on the rules of one of their games or I want to confirm the math I already did, Chris has been very helpful and open with me, so thank you guys for that. Now, speaking of player skill, it is rumored that eventually video poker games will analyze the cost of every player error made, much like programs like Win Poker and Video Poker for Winners do. So in the interest of giving more comps and offers to the bad players, do you have any comments on this prediction?
You know, I think that that's what, you know, I was just mentioning. And I think, you know, if you look at the marketing strategies for the operators today and some of the marketing experts in the field, they were saying that everybody's really demanding a one-to-one experience. You know, and it started with a player's card. And the greater share of the wallet from a player that is tracked on a card, the more the casino can recognize and reward the player appropriately. Now, that can be, you know, the benefit of a quick loss and being able to recognize that occurred and reward the person properly or just the game hold and that the player has based on his game choice or skill level. So I think the technology is going to be available, and it will be up to the operators as to how sophisticated and in what direction they take it.
Well,
but
I may not have been
there.
Sorry to interrupt you. I may not have been clear in my question, is that let's say that the player is playing jacks or better, and he's dealt a situation where he can play three to the royal or a high pair, and the better play is the high pair, but let's say the player is a risk taker, and he goes for the three to the royal every single time. I'm suggesting that it's rumored that in the future, the game will know what the best play is, and if the player makes a mistake, it will calculate the cost of that mistake according to the expected value of both plays and the amount that he bet, and it will store in the database the cost of all these errors that the player made, and they are going to reward these bad players more because they're more valuable players.
Chris, do you think that's likely to happen in the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, I mean, the technology exists you know, on the desktop, like you mentioned. So it's probably just a matter of time till it does creep into the casino. You know, I can't speculate as far as, you know, what operators may do with that information, but I imagine that the technology is going to be pretty much inevitable.
By the way, some internet casinos already do this.
The Michael phrased it in terms of bad players being rewarded. I think most of the listeners of this program are more concerned with the other half of that, which is good players being punished.
I look at it as, in fairness, right? We're all, I think in business, it's about rewarding players appropriately. I know. I think, you know, most operators try to manage to a reinvestment value that makes sense. And those are the requests that will come to us from our casino partners and customers in effort for them to become more sophisticated in their marketing efforts.
All righty, let's go on something else. IGT has been the dominant manufacturer of video poker games for a number of years, something like 90% now of the American market. At this year's Global Gaming Expo machine, WMS released a video poker product that may turn out to be very competitive. If another company cuts into IGT's dominance in this area, how will this affect the players?
You know, Bob, I really think that the effect on the player is a positive one because, I think more competition is more choices, for the player experience. Now, we're proud to be the world leader in video poker. We are committed to continuing to enhance that game lineup, and I think what we're seeing this year for IGT is that there is a global growth story for video poker that I'm excited to see. I mean, I'm a video poker fan. It's a large part of my marketing background, certainly with Station Casinos as half of my career. And I think the skill level that, you know, is involved with video poker should be something that's appealing to the younger generation, even, that's looking for some element of control and or skill in the outcome. So I think it's great for the player. I think there should be more choices with video poker for the player.
I deal with a lot of game inventors, and I know there's no shortage of them that think they have the next video poker idea that's going to be the next multi-strike or multi-play video poker. And I'm sure many of them would like to pitch their idea to IGT. So is IGT open to having an audience with these players? And if so, how do they approach IGT?
Here's what I love about our company. We do encourage that and recognize that great ideas are, you know, can just as easily come from outside our company as from within. And we certainly try to recruit as much talent, but we actually have on our website today a link that anybody can go on to. It's igt.com/company-information, and then there's an idea submission where you or anybody, you know, that has an idea for a game, and we're talking about video poker, but it can certainly be any game, can submit their ideas for consideration.
Now, very good.
On a related subject, most or many of the new IGT games are invented by outside design groups. VideoPoker.com, one of our sponsors, has had a high percentage recently in the last. Leading Edge Design, who made Multi-Strike and Big Split Poker and a few others, has had some. And there's a new company called Leap Forward Gaming, run by Ali Safari, who was a former IGT bigwig. And there's some others. Now, is it better for somebody who has this game to go to IGT or to go to one of these other companies who submit these games?
Well, you know, certainly I'm gonna choose IGT, and I think that the real basis for that, Bob, and for your listeners, is that we are the largest manufacturer. We have the largest global reach, and we have the, you know, a tremendous budget in our R&D category. So I think most entrepreneurs and game designers with a great idea really, you know, want to start with the market leader. And, you know, we're proud and have worked hard over, you know, decades to gain that spot and then hold it. So, well, I would say start with us.
All right. Now, I don't disagree with anything, but I, I might have misphrased my question. If you take it to videopoker.com and they accept it and develop it, it's going to end up at IGT. Because videopoker.
All roads lead to IGT.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
All roads lead to IGT.
Well, yeah, something like that. And so, and if, you know, Leap Forward Gaming, if you take it to them, it's going to end up at IGT. So the question is, going more directly to IGT or indirectly, is there a difference that would make the anything? I don't know how to finish that sentence. Are there any things to consider in that difference?
Chris, would you give any different insight than I've already provided, so that they can hear from both of us?
Are you still there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry. You know, we obviously want to see as many ideas as possible, you know, whether they come in directly or indirectly through one of our partners. You know, the direct route will probably get our eyeballs on it sooner, so, there might be a speed to market issue there. But so for that reason, I prefer that they come directly to IGT, because we are the market leader, and, you know, the good ideas will be the ones that we work on, you know, diligently.
Okay, and a change of topic. I've been to many casinos in Spanish and Chinese-speaking countries, and on the slot machines, the rules and the signage are often still in English. Why is this?
We are seeing growth in many of our international markets, and we have, I think, placed a larger priority on developing localized content and experience. So, so the quick answer would be, I think you're only going to continue to see more and allow the language preference, and give the customer the choice as to how they would like to receive their game experience. We have a strong lineup that we just introduced at G2E this year for this next calendar year, our Day of the Dead game. That was designed, you know, I think first, and certainly with a Spanish language preference, in our Latin America market, is just as popular in the U.S. So, you know, I think that there's only, you know, a great growth story to build language preference. And I would tell you that also exists even for our interactive game selection, both for Wager and Double Down. That, you know, we recognize that language preference will drive growth and it's needed.
So let's say that there's a Day of the Dead machine here now, and several years down the line, a casino in Panama buys it. Will they be able to change the settings of it to suddenly have the rules in Spanish, and maybe, can they approach IGT directly and ask for any glass signage to be in Spanish?
Absolutely, and we're doing that now. The Day of the Dead is actually in Spanish, and many of our games that are available and being placed in Macau and Singapore and the Chinese markets are actually in language. And then they have a button that you can choose the language that you would like to, the message. So.
Very good.
All right.
And yeah. I'd also like to add that we actually developed a Spanish version of our, you know, popular Game King Video Poker Keno multi-game for Mexico, and it's fully translated in Spanish, and some operators have seen it down in Mexico, and now we are getting some requests, you know, for that version of Game King in places like Arizona and California. So, like Stacy says, it's only going to continue. You're going to see more and more of that.
Do you know how the machine says quick quads in Spanish?
Yeah, I don't know how.
All right, I
know. What the translation for that one is.
All right, so something rapido or something. I don't. Anyway. Internet gaming. Nevada is going through the process of authorizing various companies, including IGT, to be part of the Interstate Gaming Online. Now, if all goes according to plan, how will IGT be involved with Nevada Internet Gaming? Well, that's the first question, then I got a follow-up.
Okay. We have received the, you know, we've gone through the first step, and that was to receive the license. And our role for Nevada is to be a provider, you know, a vendor to the casinos. so that the relationship for internet gaming, the way that it, the development with the brand to the players, will all be through an existing casino in Nevada. And then similar to the role that we play today as a system provider, as a game provider, we will have the back end solution that we can be their partner. But it is truly a vendor relationship here in Nevada.
And is there a similar process going on in other states other than Nevada where IGT is involved?
No, I think, as you probably know, Bob, and many, it's been quite a topic, it's certainly during this election period. So there are individual states that have some form of either interstate gaming requests that are going through the legislation process in those states. And we look to be a vendor provider in every one of those opportunities and certainly support the federal level should that someday become available.
Now, sometimes when you play video poker, especially at higher denominations, you press deal, and there's a pause for like 2 seconds before you see your cards. And one question I get a lot is, why does this happen? And there's all kinds of conspiracy theories about the game taking some time to try to psych out the player in choosing what cards to give him. So what's really going on?
Well, the real reason has, nothing to do with any of the conspiracy theories or anything like that.
Sure.
Actually, due to a regulatory requirement that all of IGT's machines have to comply with. And the particular regulation here mandates that the machine must copy the machine's critical accounting data, things like the number of games played or the amount of money paid out, things like that. That information must be copied to a safe area of the machine's memory. And so every 100 games played, the machine performs this copying of critical accounting data in the background. And on some of our machines, primarily the older ones, that don't have the processing power of the newer models, there's a small pause in the gameplay while that function completes. And that's the real reason.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with the denomination of the game.
Absolutely not.
Now, sometimes I hear kind of a clicking sound with the games, and I seem to, at least I think I hear that more often with the high denomination games. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, the machines have a physical hard meter on them that counts things like, money in and the amount won. And so if you're playing a higher denomination machine, it's going to make those meters click up faster because they're typically denominated in pennies, right? And so it's going to take a lot longer for it to roll up if you're playing a high denom game versus a low denom game. And so that's what you're hearing is the click of those meters counting up. And again, that's a regulatory requirement that the machines have physical hard meters in them, not just electronic soft meters that are, part of the software.
Now, card pulling on IGT used to work. That is, if you pulled out your card from the card reader when credits were being accumulated, insofar as a slot club was concerned, you never hit that jackpot. This doesn't work anymore on modern machines. Was this a change in what IGT did or a change in the player tracking systems?
Do I remember those days. And it really wasn't so much a change with IGT from a product, a game experience. It was a player tracking system. And again, based on request of our operator customers to say, we want to have the most accurate actual data we can. So we have to be able to recognize the last card in and as it relates to a hand or a session. So it was a business request and demand that came from the customers, and it's built into the player tracking system.
I like the old days.
Of course you do, Bob.
Back on our $1 million run at the MGM Grand there for the 6 month ending in 2000, then their record showed that we were losing 400,000, and our record showed we were ahead 250,000. But other than that, the records were identical. And I we got comps based on being such big losers, and that was a lot of fun. And I can see why the casino doesn't want to do this, but boy, the players should like that.
Sure, and that's understandable. We can appreciate that.
So if you do it now, does the system set off a red flag so the casino can punish card pullers?
You know what, and then I would answer this more so from my probably from my operator experience in IGT, so Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding, it's not about, there's not a flag that I'm aware of. It just actually, you know, takes that rating and applies it to the card that was just pulled out. So I'm not even sure we even know. The next day when you're looking at a rating or when you run the reports, there's not an, I'm not aware of anybody looking at behavior trends. It's just captures the data and ties it to the account.
I think that's wrong in at least some systems. I've played at certain Harrah's properties, and they list it by segments of however long it is since you pulled your card. Now, it can be pulled on jackpots. It can be pulled on various things. But if somebody is playing a game and they just have all kinds of card pulling, then the casino can be aware that they're doing that. But I don't know what their base player tracking system is.
It's another company.
Okay, on another topic, I've noticed that some IGT slot machines have Easter eggs. And for the benefit of the audience, that means that if you press the screen in a certain place, the game makes some kind of a joke. For example, on the fortune cookie game, if you press that this MSG symbol, it will go, no MSG. And if you press it again, it'll say MSG. So you can like flip back and forth whether or not
you toggle MSG or not.
Yes. And you don't even need to play the game to do this.
Okay.
And the Elvira game has an even funnier joke.
Where do you press on Elvira? This is a G-rated program. Never mind. I apologize.
I think I can say that there's a bonus round involving two chests, and you pick a chest. And
that's what I was talking about.
And I'll let the imaginations go the rest of the way.
All right.
He just pulled you right in there, Mike.
So can you share with the audience any other games that have Easter eggs that we might
enjoy?
Yeah, that we might play your game and try it out and try to find it.
Sure, and I think overall what that is intended to do is, you know, gaming has become an entertainment experience. I'm sure it always was, but as you can see with the video elements and the large screens and the bonus rounds, they're designed to entertain folks and keep them engaged for a longer period of time. So there's nothing better than just getting something unexpected. And I think that exists in every experience. It's not really limited to entertainment or gaming. And that's what the Easter eggs are about. Some other games that have that fun feature that, you know, one that's on the floor today would be the Ghostbusters. And that Slimer character, he can be a little rude at times, but he certainly brings some extra bonus activity. And I think, some of the games that are coming out on the floor this year that have that as well, the Dolly Parton slot machine has the first interactive jukebox. So you can select your favorite Dolly song, you know, as a side button and enjoy her music. And the new Weiland game from the artist allows you to actually participate in painting and bringing one of his painting to life with your brush. And then there's the Family Guy, so that could have some famous quotes that pop up from time to time from the famous characters in the Family Guy show. So
his would, they would likely be ruder than the other ones.
Exactly.
All right. Now, Stacy, you've been involved in Noah's Animal House here in Northern Las Vegas. Why don't you give us a 2-minute capsule of what that's all about?
And I can't thank you enough, Bob, for allowing me the opportunity to do it. I'm glad you put it towards the end because that could have taken up the show. But Noah's Animal House is built on the grounds of Shade Tree, and for those of you, obviously, it's a Las Vegas community. It's the largest women and children's shelter that our state has for available for women and children in crisis and domestic violence. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary. We have sheltered over 600 pets, and they're all pets of the women and children. And research will tell you that in a domestic violence situation, women will often not leave or delay leaving because the abuser threatens through the pet. And If you leave, I will kill the dog. It's, you know, I cringe on how many times I've heard that story in the last 5 years in working with the women. So we wanted to remove that barrier. So I'm proud to say, thanks to the Las Vegas community, and Bob, you and Shirley played a part in this, and I can't, you know, I really want to recognize your support.
Thank you. Shirley says hi.
We built the first animal shelter on the grounds of a domestic violence shelter. I'm proud to say it's named after my son, and he's 11 years old and can really share that two-minute story as well as I can. And we have, it's been an amazing and rewarding work, and the women have felt that in many ways we've saved their life because they never would have left, and their children would not have healed and moved on without their pet next door. So that's Noah's Animal House, and again, it's attached to the Shade Tree Shelter in Las Vegas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Chris and Stacy, you have both been instrumental in supporting my career for more than a decade, and I appreciate both of your support and the continued support tonight to help make this a good show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're very good at what you do, Bob, and we're proud to be a part of it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Take care, everyone.
We'll have to talk to Stacy about sponsorship. This is good. all right. There we go. So, Michael, what did we learn tonight?
Well, fortunately, we good video poker players learned that skill-based tracking of how you actually play your hand doesn't look like it's anytime in the immediate future.
Yeah, I was actually nervous about server gaming, where that they could change the pay schedule based on whose card was in there. And, you know, even if it's now their answer was it had to do with the pay schedule on the front. But even if your card was in there, it says on the front 9-6. And with my card is in there, it instantly changes on the front to be 9-5. So I was concerned that might be a possibility. Now, they seem to say that isn't. And so this is a worry over nothing, although I didn't press them hard enough as to that exact possibility. But that was something I was worried about.
Me too.
All right. So what's happening at the various Wizard websites?
I recently put up a page on a game called Super Video Hold'em Multi-Strike. And just yesterday I added some strategies to that game and enhanced that page a little bit thanks to the help of one of my website readers. And I started a new site that has nothing to do with gambling. It's called Diversity Tomorrow, which is a joke based on the show The Office. And it's basically a forum to talk about whatever you wish. And it's sort of meant as an overflow of my Wizard of Vegas forum as a place for people to talk about things besides Las Vegas and gambling.
Interesting. All right. So, South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anyone else. Every Tuesday in November, they will have two drawings at 4:15 and 8:15 p.m. Each drawing, 20 names will be chosen based on their play during the week. Each name gets called to spin a 20-position wheel where there are 13 chances to win 1,000, 5 chances to win 5,000, and 2 chances to get 10,000. That's an average of almost 3,000. Maximum tickets will be earned by playing $250 in coin-in each day, and your tickets are good for the 1 week, and then they evaporate after the last drawing on Tuesday nights. This is a good low-roller promotion for locals who can be there every day and play at least $250. Your chances aren't great to be winning, but if you're a low-stakes player, then your chances are better here to win a decent prize than they are at most others. If most drawings, some players can earn thousands of tickets by playing more than you can afford. At this drawing, no matter how much they play, the 250 tickets a day is all they can get. On Thanksgiving Day, there will be 2x points on video poker and 5x points on slots, midnight to midnight, on video poker with no limit. Players who play at least $400 in slots or $1,000 in video poker in the Sunday through Saturday week beginning November 11th can pick up a free frozen turkey between Monday, November 19th and Wednesday, November 21st. This coming Tuesday at noon, I'll be teaching Deuces Double Bonus Poker. This is a 99.81% popular combination of Deuces Wild and Double Bonus Poker. It sounds similar to the Deuces Bonus game I taught last week, and many of the plays are the same between the two games, but different payouts for five aces, straight flushes, full houses, and regular flushes make for a significant number of differences. Even if you don't plan on playing this game, attending the class is useful in order to learn how a difference in flush from 2 to 3, or the difference in full houses from 3 to 4, or the difference in straight flush between 9 and 12, and the difference in five aces between 400 and 800, how that makes a difference in your strategy, because you will find that kind of knowledge is useful when you sit down at a Deuces Wild pay schedule that you've never had before. At the Palms, for the first 2 weeks in November, the Friday-Saturday 7 p.m. drawing has a James Bond theme, 007, and it's a tie-in to a new movie called Skyfall, which will be out in a week and a half, I guess. The top five places earn briefcases, which hold between a top prize of $6,000 and a bottom prize of $500. There's actually 7 briefcases, and 5 of them are going to be selected randomly. 5 additional places earn either $300 or a James Bond 50th anniversary Blu-ray box set. PEW Play, Earn, and Win, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, prizes for the first half of the month have a vintage touch theme, where prizes are an old-time pay telephone, several clocks, lunchbox, gumball machines. The second half of the month will feature the theme of gifts for everyone, where the top prize appears to be a $50 Visa gift card. On Thursday, the Sterling Gifts for Sexy Seniors feature a free swipe for food items, a blackjack tournament, and a mini baccarat tournament. On November 15th at 3 p.m. is a free lounge act for Sterling members featuring Brittany Owen, the woman of 1001 voices and faces. The VideoPoker.com Players Club is now in force. You earn points by playing the free games on the site, and there are some bonus points you can get. Now, you get points for every dealt hand you play. Now, if I play only another 740,000 dealt hands, I get a free logo polo shirt. Now, personally, I play about 5,000 hands a year, checking out new games so I can write about them. So at this rate, in only 148 more years, I'll qualify for that shirt. I can hardly wait. Now, I'm going to have to work with them about maybe spicing up this Players Club a little bit. The details of the free monthly contest haven't been announced yet, but the dates have. It'll happen between November 24th and November 30th, and first place is $500. All right. Our guest next week is Arnold Snyder of Blackjack and Poker fame, who has written his first novel called Risk of Ruin. Our first question to Snyder won't be about the novel. It'll be, when is your next blackjack book coming out? Because it's been coming out around the corner for some time now, and a lot of us are really anxious as to when we'll see it. In 2 weeks, we're going to be talking to Willie Allison, who is a casino surveillance expert. Now, Michael, before the broadcast today, you were showing me a book called Little Billy's Letters, which had something to do with the casino. What was that all about?
This is just a great book where an adult named Bill Gerhart pretended to write letters as a 10-year-old boy, and he did it the way 10-year-olds print on the kind of paper that you wrote on when you were in grade school, and
with lines on it.
Yes, you know, he used short words and just wrote the way a kid did, and he did it really well. And he wrote to all these celebrities and politicians and presidents of big companies with simple questions to see what they would come back and say. And I have to give Caesar's Palace some praise for the response that they gave. But now let me read to you his question to Caesar's Palace first. It was written to someone named John Groom, who was the president of the time. Dear Mr. Groom, my parents said I can gamble when I get older. What is the best game to play to get enough money for a speedboat? Could I get some chips from you? Thanks, Billy. And here is their reply. January 28, 2002. Master Billy Gerhardt. Dear Billy, thank you for your letter. You have asked me a very difficult question because some people who gamble lose their money instead of buying a speedboat. Gambling is a form of entertainment like going to a movie. The best way to get a speedboat is to do well in school so that when you grow up, you will be smart enough to earn money to buy your own boat. And if you decide to gamble when you're old enough and can afford it, I recommend betting the pass line in the game of dice. Your money will last longer, and hopefully you will have a lot of fun before the casino's mathematical edge claims your last bet. Hope this letter helps. Good luck to you in the future. Sincerely, John Groom, President.
Pretty honest answer from a casino, huh?
Yes. Normally you see all this signage about the big winners and come in here and win, and you know, casinos seem to make it out to be that they're just giving money away. And here is the most honest piece of writing from a casino that I have ever seen about the way the public should be looking at gambling and the way what recreational gamblers can expect, that if they keep playing, eventually the casino is going to get their last dollar.
So they didn't think that Master Billy Gerhardt was an advantage player, huh?
No, but I admire them for giving him some good advice. I would have said to learn the basic strategy and play blackjack, or I'm sure you would have said to learn a good video poker strategy. But if someone wants just a real simple strategy, the pass line in craps is not bad, and you'd certainly be doing better than most gamblers out there.
Very good. One, we got about a minute to go. One of our guests who is going to be on probably at the end of this month in 4 weeks, his name is Bob Nersessian. He's a lawyer. He's the top gambling lawyer for Players, and there's been a recent case with Laurie C., who is a guest on this show. I think that was when Richard Munchkin was the co-host, and she talked about a lawsuit, and so Bob Nersessian was involved in that. He was a lawyer involved, and so it was passed back by the Supreme Court back down to the local court, and so it affects whether she was kicked out, put in jail for violating a trespass order, but when the casino invited her to come play. So we're going to be asking Bob Nersessian about that. There's lots of speculation as to whether the casino was right to do this and whether it was an intelligent play for her to go into the casino after she had the trespass act. So I'm looking forward to that.
And real quickly, if the audience ever has questions they want asked of Bob or any future guest, feel free to mail them in to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks to our guest, Stacy Alonzo and Chris Bruni. Go out and everybody hit lots of royal flushes this week.
Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.